Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dekdag.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is a great broadcast tonight as we will be talking about the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, from two locations in the Quran and two locations in the Bible. This will be our celebration of Christmas this year. We're doing this a little bit different because, you know, every year I have to do a little bit different so you don't get bored from hearing me. And this is Usama Dekdag from the state of, I don't know where I am, somewhere in the East Coast. And with us, our wonderful producer, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. And also Brother Adam will be with us as he will be a part of our ministry tonight as we will be discussing these matters of what the Quran said about the Bible, which have nothing to do with the Bible, and the contradiction even between the pages of the Quran concerning our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Christy, hello and how are you? How is Mississippi?
Well, Usama, Mississippi is rather warm for this time of year, but as usual, I am very excited to tell you I went to a hockey game last night, and for people I feel so bad for who are living in democratically controlled cities and states. We had 7,528 people, I think they said, at the Coliseum without masks and without any problem. And we watched hockey and it was really fun. And
I wonder how many of them are going to die in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, right. Well, if they get, I won't say, there's certain things that are being promoted by our state and federal people that might harm them, but nobody had a problem being there. We've been very blessed, and I hope we can continue to be blessed that we're not being dominated mm-hmm. by ridiculous kinds of requirements and mandates. We're pretty much okay and living in a way that's normal. I'm sure there's people that would like to stop that, but I see cars from all over the country here, and we have been told that our news media said you can't even rent a place here now because people come down here and they realize, oh my gosh, I can live like normal here.
I can live as American.
Yeah.
I live as American. Well, I've been going to different places here in the East Coast. It's a very liberal state where I'm in right now. And when you go to Walmart, they ask you to wear a mask. If you go to any place, you ask you to wear a mask. And I did my best as I can. I told them, I'm sorry, ma'am. I cannot have a mask because I have a CS. And I put my hand on my chest. And I have a CS. I cannot wear a mask. And she said, oh, that's okay. You're okay. And I go inside the store. I do my best so I'll not be a liar. As a believer in Christ, I have to tell the truth. As I leave the Walmart, I go back to the same person, if he's still there or she's still there. And I say, by the way, CS stands for common sense. So thank you so much for allowing me to go in your store and use my common sense. I think Democrats need some help. They need to have some common sense. It's already proved scientifically that mask will not help. You know what? I will wear a mask in one condition. If I am around old people to give them peace of mind.
Yeah.
Or if I'm around somebody who have health issues. But for me, I don't believe in the mask. But listen carefully. I will wear a mask because I don't want to cause somebody to be upset for their worry about getting sick from me. But I don't believe the mask works, and we have proven this scientifically worldwide, not just in America. Worldwide.
Well, I think that is the only real point is if someone is fearful themselves of you doing some harm to them, certainly we don't want to make people feel going to get
God
hurt from us.
I cannot wear a mask. When I wear a mask, I can't breathe. Nobody can. No, Vicky has no problem. My wife, she can wear a mask all day. It doesn't bother her, but I can't.
Well, I'm just telling you, a lot of people have a problem with it. When they were forcing people to wear masks to be able to go in and grocery shop, which was a while back, I had a little girl I was babysitting. She was like 12, and literally she almost passed out in the store, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. And then later her mom said, yeah, she can't breathe. Kids that have a tendency to have asthma or breathing problem, it's very difficult. But we pray, you know, for people who are or have been sick with coronavirus, that they'll get the appropriate treatment. We have a lot of people who are realizing and recognizing that there are better treatments to help people who have contracted the illness. The things they're doing to prevent it have not been very successful, and that's why they're telling people they still need to wear masks. Well, I think we need to have good treatments. Anyway, I wanted to tell our friend, Frag Rance, that I recognize her, and it was very sweet of you to make a nice comment about me, but you're right, wearing masks can be a health hazard. I used to tell people, goodness, you're breathing in everything that's coming out of you. If it was some illness, you're just consuming it again. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, Adam, I want to hear your voice. Adam, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly, brother.
How is things going with you, my special friend?
Praise Lord. I am doing very well, and we are having an awesome time today by the grace of our Lord. And Father Zechariah Boutros was awesome today.
Absolutely. If you do not know who is Father Boutros Zechariah, he is used to be a priest in Egypt, and he is now living in America. I've done some ministry with him a good 20-some years ago, or actually maybe less than 20, maybe 18 years ago, 17 years ago. And we still have a good relationship, and he is like the father of the new generation of all the Christians who do ministry, especially those who have grown up in Egypt. We have been blessed to have him today, and we're doing it in English, Arabic, Urdu. And boy, oh boy, we got a big crowd there. We're like 600 plus live show. And here, we have this small number. Please, people, invite your friends. I can't beg you enough to invite your friends. But you know what, Christy, when you look at our numbers a little bit later, when people start listening to it, we're hitting thousands. We're good. But I really would love to have our number to go. And I pray that the Lord put on your heart. As I said, in the last 14 years, I repeat again today, we do not do this for any reason except to get the truth out. And I will speak. I will speak to one person. As a matter of fact, if me and Christy and Adam would talk with each other these 2 hours, I would do it and people will listen to it later. But it will be better if this number we have right now is listening to us and watching us, we can put a couple of zeros in front of us, we hit the thousand. That is my heart desire.
Yes. The problem is, brother, that in the West, the people are sleeping because they do not know what persecution is. When we were doing this live in Pakistan and India, they are being persecuted by these Islamists. They know exactly why we are doing it. They know exactly that they have to remove this cult from the roots. So they come in, like even today, like my Urdu live streams, which goes into India and Pakistan, usually my number is between 600. And sometimes when a scholar comes in for a debate with me, scholar, not a very high-level scholar, normal-level scholar, that number goes up to 900, 950. Now, the thing is, they know exactly what the persecution is. They have seen it. They have not heard it. They have bared it. Like even today, I had a guy, a Christian guy, who came in and who told everyone about his persecution in Pakistan, which is happening in Pakistan and India, especially Kerala in India and Pakistan everywhere. They know what these Islamist Mohammedans are doing with them. But the West is sleeping because right now in the West, the numbers are small. And Quran says simply that if you are low number, you be small until you are foremost. And then there is no salam, there is no peace. Bye-bye.
Sure. Yeah. You know, by the way, Christy, just quickly, you give the note. We started with 600 plus alive, and we have not yet passed 10 hours. And what is the number right now, Adam, for the total?
Approximately 9,000 watchers.
In less than 10 hours. And I'm hoping that that show will go to the big numbers. I'm looking for much larger than that as we will prepare ourselves to go to part two of our study in women's Islam. One thing I like, Christy, which we did not do when we talked about women's Islam, Father Qutb Zakariya, is challenging and encouraging the Muslim women and the women in general to literally stand up, rise up, and revolt what Islam is doing to them. And I believe that's the perfect way. You cannot destroy or get rid of any evil thing unless you have revolution from within. The best way to destroy the greatest civilization is let the people in this community, in this society, rise up against what is not what's happening not right. And man, the abuse of women in Islam is beyond our imagination. We already talked about it. I hope maybe someday we can have Father Christmas for Q&A on that topic, women in Islam. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I have another point of view that I want to add and get your feedback about. I think it's more than just the people in the West are sleeping. In America, the people in the West, particularly the Christians, have been lied to by everybody, lied to by their leadership that they used to trust. Even conservatives have lied about this. They've been lied to by the media. They have been lied to by their churches. That is more of a problem than just ignorance. They have information, but they have false information. They've been lied to. That's what I think.
You're right, Chris. I think you're right. And we have talked about that in our presentation, Lies and Textbooks, which you helped me to put together more than 10 years ago. And we said, what? If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. And that's exactly what's happening. The people of the West believe that women in Islam is the best thing you can ever do. And Islam is a loving, peaceful religion. God help us. It's unbelievable. I did the program with Sister Khatoum a couple days ago, and we talked about some guy by the name Muhammad something, I don't remember what his name is, and he is doing an interview with another British guy, and he's selling it to him, and the British guy is duped with the lies of Muhammad. And we only did 7 pieces out of maybe 40, the total, and we spent 3 hours to cover 7 cuts of that video, which is 1.5 hours, and boy oh boy, I mean, the guy's lying. I found that when I can catch him lying, Christy. Remember when we said when Mr. Obama's lips move, he's lying?
Yes.
That guy, whenever his lips move, he's lying.
Yeah.
Between a lie and a lie, there's a lie. So lie plus lie plus a bunch of lies. And
that's exactly
how Muslims are going to win.
With so much misinformation out there, this is the most troubling part that, and one of our friends in our chat even made that comment. The people who we tried to target, you tried to target, were pastors, ministers, people to get them to inform their own congregations, but they didn't want to believe it. And someone else said, yeah, people in the West want to be comfortable. They don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable by saying something negative about Islam. Well,
Christy,
I'm sorry.
This is exactly what happened to me 30 years ago.
I know.
I could not do this ministry 30 years ago until a friend of mine took me aside. He said, Usama, it's not going to work. I said, what's it not work? What you're trying to do? I said, what is I'm trying to do? He said, in America, if you don't have something nice to say about somebody, you zip your mouth. You don't say anything. I said, how can I say something nice about the worst disease, worse than any cancer in the world? Islam is worse than COVID-19, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, and to our comment from Tony, I was listening to a program earlier with Annie Cyrus. She's a friend of yours. They mentioned you, by the way, today. And she was talking about the woman in Britain. Our congresswomen, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, are behind legislation to make it a crime against Muslims to speak negatively. We've cautioned about this coming to America. I don't know if it'll pass, but they've proposed this legislation, which is very similar to legislation in Britain, where they have now convicted a woman in Britain for starting a program. Okay, you got to hear this, because this is in America. This could come next. She started a program to help young girls who were married to Muslim men when they came out of Afghanistan, and some of them in Britain, okay? She wanted to help those girls get divorced and get separated from these Muslim men in order to protect them. She is now going to go to jail for what she said about Islam.
Yes, ma'am, and I know what? I'm thankful to God that in England there is no freedom of speech. We have in America here freedom of speech, and believe it or not, it will not make a difference. It will not make a difference worth a bag of beans if we do not hold to our Constitution Amendment, First Amendment, Second Amendment, because believe me, if it's happening in Europe, it could be in America within a few years.
They proposed it.
Ilhan Omar needs to go spend her 18 years in prison for the crime which she committed against America so far. But so far, nobody going to take her to court. So far, she will not spend a day in jail. Most likely, she will never have a hard decision in 2022 to a better office. Maybe she will become a senator or become a governor somewhere. That's how sick and stupid this government and the political correctness of this country. And if we allow this political correctness to continue to exist in America, trust me, this broadcast will not be on air. Somebody like myself and you and whoever will be speak the truth against Islam will be thrown in jail, and Muslim will take over America. That's exactly what I'm expecting to come. I don't know if Adam, I want to say something about that.
You have already said all of it, brother, seriously speaking. By the way, you did not name the person, so I'm going to name the person. That person's name is Muhammad Hijab. We call him Mimi Hijab. So the guy who, whenever his lips move, he's lying, is Mimi Hijab. Muhammad Hijab. So,
Mimi, wait a minute. Mimi, that's the name of a girl?
Yeah, we call him Mimi Hijab because of his stupidity and arrogance. Otherwise, his real name is Muhammad Hijab.
Okay,
wow.
I see it.
I think he asked to be a friend of mine at one point. I get a lot of interesting friend requests.
I challenged the man who had on a show for an interview. He gave that Mimi 1.5 hours. All I'm asking is the 45 minutes, half of it. And I know he lived in Canada, and I said, and I repeat again here tonight, that somebody, no, what is the name of this guy who did the interview with Mimi? Do you know what his name?
JPL.
All right. If somebody knows the brother or can give him this invitation, I would love to have him here in America, in the state of his choice. Or if he can get me to Canada, I will go to Canada, and all I'm requesting is 45 minutes to expose some of the lies. I'm not going to cover all the lies because, believe me, we already did 3 hours in the first 15 minutes of the interview. So by the time I finish the entire interview, most likely I'm going to be quoting a good 14, 15 hours. So I'm not going to ask him to give me 15 hours to educate him and expose the foolishness of him to have this guy on his show. But 45 minutes for every... half hour, I need a minute to just cover some of the stuff we're going to be talking about. Anyway, I know you're laughing, Christy.
Well, I'm laughing because I realize this is something you would love to do. I don't know if he'll take you up on it. But, Usama, there is so much news, and this is another reason that people in the West don't understand Islam. Article, a terrorist group linked to Islamic State, ISIS, has abducted and enslaved over 600 women and girls in Mozambique's northern Cabo Delgado province since 2018. So they've abducted all these women since 2018. Many of them are still missing. We understand that. But why does the media not cover any of it? This is part of our problem.
The reason the media will not talk about it because it's the same media who want to bring the same Muslims to this country. Can you imagine with me? I'm going to tell you, here, the best drink you can have, I don't know, Casey, the best drink you can have, drink of this, it's very good for you. But at the same time, I'm going to tell you, well, since this cup is poison, you drink it, you will die. You cannot have it both ways.
Exactly.
The media and the liberals want to fill America by Islam, Muslim believers or Muslim terrorists or whatever you want to call them from the Muslim world. They don't want to even have a border for America to make sure people who could not come by the airplane because of they have a very bad record, they just can walk in through our border.
Yes.
It's the same media whom you want them to use to tell the truth about Muslims kidnapping and raping women. Are you out of your mind? Why do they even exist? The reason they exist is to sugarcoat Islam, sugarcoat the Muslims who practice Islam, and bring them to America until the American people start sucking on this sweet candy, and then later they find out that sweet candy actually have a poison in it, and it will kill you.
You know, Usama, this is why I keep trying to promote and tell people, watch internet broadcast TV like Frank Speech, which is Lindell TV. They're the same thing. Watch news on programs like OAN. Today they had an awesome program, Usama, talking about it was almost like going back in history and watching the same thing that happened in the 70s happen again. And what it was is when they came out with the swine flu vaccine, there were numbers of people who came down and were very sick. Several people died. Some of them had lifelong problems. But when the news started getting out, guess who was there reporting it? Stations like NBC and CBS were reporting that these things were happening. And you would be amazed at how similar everything was. I just watched that today on OAN. There's a reporter there. He's an investigative reporter for real named Pearson Sharp. Very excellent reporter. And he showed that whole thing of what was being shown on TV about the danger of the swine flu vaccine. But they didn't tell it at first. They hid it, just like what may be happening now. So that swine flu vaccine had made many people sick. There were a lot of people filing lawsuits. I don't mean sick like their tummy ached. I mean sick. One woman was paralyzed. For 6 months, she was in recovery, and it took over a year for her to regain most of her ability, but she still was wearing braces after, 2 years.
Yeah. Well, here's the truth. Democrats told us, don't let crisis go without using it.
Yeah.
So there will always be crisis, and we know from the scriptures that in the end of time, there will be crisis, and I promise you the Democrats will use all the crisis coming to city near you for their own agenda to literally change this country from America to Venezuela. If you know what happened in Venezuela, and 24 years ago, Venezuela, I believe, was the richest 8, 9, 10 country in the world. Now it is one of the poorest countries in the world. It's coming to a state near you, especially if you are living in a liberal state.
And the stories about Islam, you realize that the Muslim, it was the Muslim who ran down the people at that Christmas parade. That never came out in the media, but they have reported on these other channels. I'm telling you, boycott the lying media. Boycott it. You can get far more information if you look for some of the places, because you'll never get the truth anymore. And that's how they're winning. In the past, the media exposed what was happening with the vaccines. Today, there's nothing being exposed about the illness, the vaccines, or Islam. Don't trust the media anymore.
I'd like to promote another good TV program, which only comes once a week. It's Saturday night from 9 to 11 Central Time.
What?
It's the Straight Way B, because believe it or not, even though we only meet once a week, soon we're going to be meeting twice a week. And Lord is willing, it's going to be once a night. I'm just waiting to have a better internet. And Lord is willing, we're going to have this program every night. And you will see the Lord will bless it and will grow it, not just in numbers, because numbers mean nothing to me. Chris, you have seen me many times. I did radio broadcast with only 10 people, and I did not mind. And we will, I travel speaking churches. Last week, I spoke in church. There was three people. Three people. Can you imagine that? We travel an hour to go speak in a church, have three people, and I got three of my friends be there, so we total of six. And I have done a whole study for whatever, 2 hours or so. Numbers means nothing to me. I'm willing to actually travel from the East Coast to the West Coast, from New York to California, to Washington State, to speak to three people in a church meeting. I'm not kidding you. Trust me.
If you have seen it, try me.
Mm-hmm. If you are somebody who's watching me right now, say, oh, this guy is full of baloney. This guy is so arrogant. No. You call me, you put four, five people, or three people, let's stick with the three number, in your living room, invite me, and I will come. Have a cup of coffee with you, and I'll speak for whatever hour they give me, and I will leave in the same room. I'm not even bother you to put me in to sleep in a bed in your house. I will come, speak, and I'll leave in the same day. So, numbers mean nothing, but I hope and I pray that this ministry will grow, that we can learn the truth about Islam and whatever else we talk about, like we do always in every program. And I know one time a week is not much, but hey, we have to start somewhere. So now it's a Saturday. Hopefully, there will be Saturday and Tuesday, and there will be every day. And I know the Lord will bless the ministry. Something you want to say, Adam? I see Adam is like, wow, can I say something?
You have to do it every day. You cannot hope for it. You just start doing it.
Yes, indeed. Since I got to see Adam, praise God, I'm so happy. You know what, guys? It doesn't have to be here at the Straightway Ministry. If you have a channel somewhere and you want to have me, that day will be in your channel. It will be somebody else's channel another day. It's not about the Straightway. It's about the way, Jesus Christ. That Straightway have nothing to do with you, Usama. It is literally Jesus' word in John 14:6 when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you think this is about Usama or Adam or Christy, maybe you need to go watch TV somewhere else. Go have fun. Go watch a movie. But this is about the truth. And the truth is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we will always do. And we pray the Lord will keep our tongue and our mind from lying or making a mistake. I don't want to even, not just lie. I don't want to make an honest mistake. I want to be truthful to the Lord, truthful to you, that I will tell you everything right. And that's why you need to keep in your prayers that the Lord keep gaining me the true knowledge, that I will not lead you, not against Islam by false teaching or for Christianity with false teaching. I want nothing but the truth.
Praise Lord, praise Lord. And with that, I would say you are being getting money from Yehudo Nasara because of the house that you have behind you. What an awesome $1 billion house that you have. But with that, let's go into our presentation. Would you like to go in a commercial break before we start the real presentation, brother?
All right. Praise God. Amen.
Many people have serious questions about the religion of Islam. Who are Muslims and what do they believe? Liberal Muslim scholars and clerics spin the news and continually promote Islam as the religion of peace and that Jews, Christians, and Muslims worship the same God. But is this true? Where can we turn for the answers? To truly know what a faith teaches, you have to go to the book. And for the last 1,400 years, that book for Muslims is the Quran. This collection of the sayings and teachings that Muhammad claimed to have received from Allah is the sacred text for over 1 billion Muslims worldwide. But the Quran was written in Arabic, so how can we in the West learn what it really says? Muslim apologists have produced several English translations over the years, but these have been carefully edited to hide many of the blatant errors, immoral teachings, and violent commands throughout the book.
In the beginning of our ministry, we decided to tell the truth about Islam. Therefore, we decided to buy the English translation of the Quran to use the verses which is written there. Sadly, I could not find one Quran to present the truth as it is written in the Arabic language. They sugarcoat it. They water it down. That's why we decided to go ahead and translate the Quran from Arabic to English, a true English translation.
The Straightway of Grace Ministry, in cooperation with Arab and English scholars from around the world, has produced the most accurate English translation of Islam's holy book ever printed. Read for yourself exactly what Muhammad taught his followers about war and violence, about sex and marriage, about the treatment of infidels, and more importantly, what he said about Jesus.
Islam is not what I share with you or what some modern Muslims tell you. Islam is the verses of the Quran. We must separate Muslim from Islam. There are so many wonderful Muslim people out there, but they are not true Muslim because simply they don't practice what the Quran teaches. So many American people say they accept Islam. They do not have any problem for Muslims to practice Islam in America. But same people rejecting Sharia, Islamic law, not knowing that Sharia, Islamic law, is a practice of the verses of the Quran.
This translation has been produced with the modern student in mind, with several key features including study notes for the reader, detailed notes concerning errors and contradictions in the text, careful comparisons between the Quran and biblical accounts, and references to the original sources that Muhammad borrowed from. Special sections discuss key topics such as a compilation of non-Arabic words and idioms found in the Quran, an easy-to-follow chart outlining the fulfilled prophecies concerning Jesus in the Old Testament, and a challenging gospel invitation to introduce the reader to the scientific, historical, and biblical reasons for accepting the true Jesus as the only Lord and Savior.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It is time for us to read the Quran. It's time for us to find the truth for ourselves.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Read the Quran for yourself and understand the roots of this dangerous faith. Individual copy and case pricing are available.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you with us. And believe it or not, that commercial was perfect, Adam. I'm glad you start with that commercial because that is exactly what we'll be doing here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to compare the Quran to the Bible. We're going to examine the teaching of the Quran about the prophet of Jesus. And more important than all that, actually, we're going to compare the Quran to the Quran because most Muslim people who memorize the Quran, they have no clue what they are memorizing. So they did not study the Quran to understand it and to really dig deep in it and believe in it. And no. They memorize the Quran to the point, as you know that, Adam, that some people who do not actually speak the Arabic language memorize the Quran in the Arabic language fully from the first chapter to the last chapter without having a clue what they are saying in the prayer. Can you testify to that, Adam?
Brother, definitely. I can testify from my own account that I had memorized so many surahs in my early days, and I had no idea. Let me just say it in English time. I did not know jack what I was saying during Salat. But I had memorized it, and I was reciting the Salat.
So you are a good example of what I'm trying to see American people. You can see Muslims stand up and pray five times a day in the Arabic language, and they have no clue what they're saying, and they memorize the verses of the Quran because they have to use in the prayer, and they still have no clue what they're saying. And how many of the Muslims in the world like that, Brother Adam? Can you give me a rough idea? Maybe half of them, more or less?
No, brother. I would vouch for over 90% to be like this because in Pakistan, I know in Pakistan, they, like 99% of the Muslimin in Pakistan does not know jack what they are saying when they are reciting the Salat, the five daily prayers. 1% of Muslim would have some idea, and out of that 1%, maybe 0.1% or 0.2% will know exactly what they are speaking.
Amazing, my friend, because that's exactly what I saw in the largest Muslim country in the world, Indonesia. Over 200 million. That's more than the Arabs in one country, Indonesia, and they are all Muslims, and I was shocked. Even little children, I'm talking about 12, 13, 14 years old, who hold the Quran in their hand, written on some animal skin or sometimes on fabric, and they will read it to me, and they say it from their head, and when I start talking with them about the verses, I was shocked by both. They can put their finger on the word as they read it, but they have no idea what they are saying. This is beyond my understanding. Think about Christy as an American lady. You don't speak Greek, and I know you don't speak Greek. Imagine memorizing the entire New Testament, which is how big the Quran, in the Greek language. You can say it from your head. You can literally recite it from your head and use it in your prayer while you do not know one word in Greek.
Let me answer you that instead of Vicky. Instead of Christy. Brother, if your salvation is guaranteed on this, will you not do it?
I think I will do it because makes sense.
That's exactly why these guys memorize the whole Quran. Because if you are a hafiz of Quran, you and your family gets a free pass to Jannah. Brother, you won't get a free pass to Jannah if you memorize the whole Bible. Why would you even try to do that?
Well, I need, thank God, because all I need is to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and believe in the reason for that season why Jesus came to save me from my sin. And that's plenty enough for me. And I know I got all the assurance that my sins are forgiven and I am set free for eternity in heaven.
You know, when I was young, when I started reading Arabic as in school and tried to understand Arabic a little, I started reading the Quran in Urdu language as well to understand and comprehend what it was. And you know what my mother used to say to me every time?
Mm-hmm.
Brother, son, you should always recite it in Arabic. And I was like, Mommy, I literally do not comprehend when I'm reciting Arabic, so I want to just know exactly what's written in the Quran. That's why I'm reading the Urdu translation. And she would always tell me, if you read it in Arabic, you will get 10 sawab. If you read in Urdu, you will get 1 sawab. So you can read in Urdu, but at the same time, read it in Arabic.
And sawab is a reward. 10 rewards, memorizing the Quran in Arabic. One reward if you memorize it in your own language where you can understand what it says. Christy, have you ever sought to memorize the Bible in English anywhere, somewhere?
In English? Well, I think the thing is, it's totally a different thing. When you're memorizing a verse, let's say from the Bible, it's in order for you to apply some of the wisdom in order to hear and listen to the Spirit of God. Direct you. The Bible says that as we know God speaking, it won't contradict what is in the Word of God, the Bible. And that's a protection for us. But we don't earn points, except
you
maybe
points.
You don't
what
earn points
with you,
for memorizing. It's you gain...
it is actually to practice Psalm 1. Blessed are those who meditate on God's word
yes.
day and night. You will
That's
read
right.
it, to, not to just memorize it for the head of knowledge, no, to meditate on it, that
yes.
we live it in our life. Well, we're going to move on our study, Christy, and I hope you got your Bible ready. I want you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 1,
You're
and
holy.
Verse 26, that is Matthew 1:26, because we're going to make you the Christian speaker tonight, because
All
I'm
right.
going to be Muslim number one. Adam was going to be Muslim number two, and you're going to be Christian. So what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, as I shared with you earlier, we're going to do a quick study about the birth of Jesus that is comparing what Allah said in the Quran to the story or the account of Jesus in the Bible. Yes, Christy.
As usual, Usama, you told me what chapter in Matthew, but I'm so dyslexic, you have to repeat it to
chapter
me.
Chapter 1 and verse 26.
All right.
And as a matter of fact, Brother Adam is going to put it for you on the screen. So you
I got
it.
But you can put it on the screen.
Matthew 1
anyway.
Only has 25 verses.
Yes, how can I do that? 25.
Sorry, Luke 1.
I was in Luke to begin with. You fooled me.
I make a mistake. Can
no,
I
you're trying. You're testing
life?
Me. That's
no,
it.
I'm
All
proud,
right.
I'm proud to see if you guys are catching. Okay.
Man,
so
oh man.
Of course, we got the best producer, Adam. He'll be able to switch back and forth. But first, we're going to start with what is written in Quran chapter 19. And I'm going to share the screen here if you guys don't mind. Unless you want to have, can you have it, Adam? Quran chapter 19. I'll get my first. Okay. Never mind. I'll do it. Let's share the screen, and I'm going to share the Bible. And Lord is willing, I'm going to go to the story of Jesus in Quran chapter 19 and verses 16 and down. But at the same time, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask Adam to pick me out and put his own Quran as well, which is going to be Quran chapter 3. And then we're going to read the true biblical account in Luke 1:26. And then later we're going to read in the book of Matthew chapter 1. But here we go. It says in the Quran, and remember in the book. Guys, when Allah said remember in the book in Quran chapter 19, verse 16, he's talking about the Bible. Remember in the Bible. Now, why Muhammad did not say Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, which location? Because simply Jibreel, Allah and Muhammad did not know. He heard the story. He knows that the story does exist in the Bible, and that's what you're going to get. Remember in the book. What? Mary. What happened to Mary? when she went apart from her family to an eastern place. Don't you love the details of the Quran? Where are you going? I'm going to the east, like I told you earlier. God, my witness, I don't know the name of the town I'm in right now, but that's okay. No big deal. Sometime I don't know the name of the state, and Christy can testify. Usama, you're wrong. You're not in Texas. You're in Louisiana. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, they're close to each other. Because I travel a lot, sometimes I get confused. But Allah, the all-knower, is telling us that Mary went apart from her family to an eastern place. Where? Allah knows. Where if Allah knows, why can't Allah tell us? What's so hard for Allah, the all-knower, the all-knowing, to tell us where is this Mary went? But listen now. Listen very carefully. Mary went apart from her family. How old was Mary at the time? We do not know. Why she left her family and went to some eastern place? We do not know. Oh, we do not know.
According to Muslims, when they come up and they talk to me, they said Mary was 3 years old, brother.
Oh, 3 years old. I love it. So Mary was 3 years old and said, Mama, Papa, I love you. I'm going to go bye-bye. Where are you going, sweetheart? I'm going to eastern place. Okay, sweetheart. We'll talk to you later. God bless you. Okay, bye-bye. Obviously, this is 3 years old is a joke. Why? Because she lived in the Holy of Holiness in the temple until she had her first period, which means she's, 12 years old. So 3 years old is not true. That's a hogwash propaganda. But here's the truth. Culturally, in the days of Mary, that's 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, in that part of land, girls, when they are 14, 15, or 16, or 17, or 27, they don't leave home and go somewhere else. You have to understand that. The culture setting at the time of Virgin Mary, when she was living in this, girls get engaged while they're living with mama and papa. And then if the fiancé takes her to his own home one night, spend the night with her, make love to her, she is now his wife. End of story. That is the culture setting. But according to the Quran, who knows? Allah does not know. Jibreel and Muhammad do not know. And Muslims do not know. Okay? But the story is wrong. Why is it wrong? Oh, because it does not match the Bible. No. Forget about the Bible now. The story does not match the culture setting of Mary's day. Verse 17. So she took a veil apart from them. What is this? Took a veil apart from them. فَتَخَذَتْ مِنْ دُرُمْ حِجَابًا. I mean, she's living in her own, in some eastern place. Why should she take a bite? But that's okay. So we sent our spirit to her. Speaking here, who is we? We is Allah. Why Allah is sent his spirit to Mary? Listen carefully. So he appeared to her a normal human. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. What is the story here? Allah sent his spirit to Mary, and that spirit did not talk to Mary as a spirit, but it talked to Mary as an angel, not an angel, as a human. When he said, Bashar al-Sawayyan is a normal guy. If you think about it, 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", that's how tall he is. Good, 160, 180, maybe 200 pounds, two eyes, two hands, two ears, two legs, just normal guy. Think of a guy speaking to Mary.
Can it be translated as absolutely human or perfectly human, brother?
You can. Sawiyan is normal, natural, not a weird-looking guy. It's not like have three eyes or too fat or too skinny. Just Sawiyan means in good health. How about that? A guy in good health, I can shoot for 160 pounds, 170 pounds, not 250 pounds. For sure, not 400 pounds, okay? So now, verse 18. She said, surely I seek refuge with the merciful from you if you were a fearer. I seek refuge with the merciful from you. Allah help me if you are a fearer, if you were a fearer. Why she seek refuge from Allah if he's a fearer? If you're an evil guy. No, you don't seek refuge from Allah if the guy is good guy, if he's evil guy. But that's okay, no big deal. Go ahead, Aaron.
According to the Qurtubi, it says that she thought that this guy will going to rape her.
Oh, he's going to rape her. Oh, so why she said if you are a fearer, if you are an evil guy, if you are a rapist, Allah will protect me from you.
So she gave the word to ta'ata of Allah to him, that maybe he is a farer, so he will not do because he'll fear Allah.
Allah. Now, notice here, we're talking about, remember in the book, in the Bible, and that's what we're going to ask Christy a little bit later, to read to us what happened in the Bible, okay? So we're not making this up, that's what Allah said in the Quran. Now, I want Adam to take me out and put his own slide, which is Quran chapter 3. Quran chapter 3, where we learn about what did Allah really said, what did Allah really said in that portion of the Quran. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to stop at where I stopped here so we can compare it to the Bible and figure out who is saying what. Go ahead then. Adam, can you hear me? Can you read what?
So this voice is not coming. Sorry, let me read it. And when the angels said, "Oh Mary,"
whoa! Stop it! Excuse me. What? When the what?
Angels with an S, malaikati.
Okay. Now, in the Arabic language, guys, you have to understand. There is malak, that's one angel. There is malakan, there are two angels. There is malaika, like Adam said, malaika, that's plural. Plural in English, in Arabic, is three or more. It may be 20, it may be 50, but the least number is three. In my reading to Quran chapter 19, verse 16 and 17 and 18, we read the story, and it said in verse 18 and verse 17 that Allah sent to Mary his spirit, who appeared to Mary as a normal human. What are you reading again to me, my brothers? You're reading again what you said.
And when... the angels.
Not normal human. Not one guy. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I heard you right. Okay, go ahead.
Brother, you know, please try to comprehend this. Allah forgets.
I'm sorry. Christy, I don't like when Christy laughs at the word of Allah, at the nature of Allah. Christy, you are acting like an infidel.
Yeah, so Allah forgot what he said in chapter 19. This is chapter 3, brother. They are like 5-6 years apart.
Okay, I'll give him a good excuse. So what did Allah say? Continue with the story of Allah in chapter 3.
Oh Mary, surely Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you above the woman of the worlds.
Wait a minute. Did Allah choose her twice in the same verse?
Brother, you know, Muhammad has to make it in a poetic manner.
Oh, I see. So Allah chose Mary and purified her and chose her. And why we don't read any of this in Quran chapter 19? First of all, it is one man, it's a bunch of angels. And the words is completely different. That's not what I read in my... Let me say it here. Here we go. Surely I speak Arabic. Okay, it's coming up actually. So I'm going to read to you verse 19 in a minute. But how about read the next verse? Read the next verse.
It is 19 again. You can read it. I showed it on the screen.
Well, brother, I don't have the screen. That's my problem. I have the full screen. Yeah. I cannot see it.
I'll read it. And in chapter number 19, it simply says that a man appeared and she said, "Surely I seek refuge with the merciful from you if you fear." Here, suddenly, it is saying, chosen you above the woman, Mary, be devout towards your Lord and worship and kneel with the kneelers.
Oh. Well, what is the point here? Why Allah in Quran chapter 19, which was written in the early days of Muhammad, did not make a big deal about Mary to worship and kneel and do all this stuff? You know what? Throughout the Quran, guys, when you study about the teacher Muhammad about Christianity, he never got anything right. He literally did not get anything right about Christianity. I challenged Muslims to show me one thing written about Christianity accurate in the Quran. I don't care what chapter, I don't care what verse. Just show me one thing Muhammad said about Jesus or Christianity is accurate. Zero. So if you go to with me to Quran chapter 5, I know Adam, I'm going to ask you, I'm a little bit rude here, I apologize, man. If you go to Quran chapter 5 and verse 116, there's a very important passage there, and we have to read because otherwise people think I'm making this stuff up. In the Quran, Allah is asking Isa a very important question. Quran chapter 5 and verse 116. If you can bring it, Adam, that'll be awesome. Okay. وَيَسْقَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بِنِ مَرْيَمُ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخَذُونِ وَأُمِّي إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Here. That's exactly the verse. That's exactly the verse. Okay, okay. In Arabic, in English, my translation is, take me and my mother as God beside Allah. So now Allah does not know what really Christian believe, as Muhammad and Jibreel do not know what Christian believe. And somehow Allah made another mistake thinking that Christians worship Mary and Jesus. That's why Allah is asking Isa, which is supposed to be Jesus in Islam, did you tell the people to worship you and your mother as God beside me? And you know what's amazing, Adam? Read the answer. Read the answer of Jesus. It's a comedy. Allah asks a stupid question, and Jesus is correcting him in the Quran. Go ahead.
He, the Jesus, will say, exalted are you.
What will say, my friend? What in the world will say? Qala. This is the garbage translation. Let me get my translation out, man. I'm sorry, brother.
Actually, you know, Allah is going to ask him in the future. So they are trying to make it the same way. You know, even though the Quranic linguistic is bad, but you know, Allah is asking in the future, if you read it, and then Allah will say, you know, that's the future. The first part is future. So the answer will also be the future.
That's
Allah,
wrong. Both of them are wrong. Waisqala, qala is past tense. Isqala, Allah said, and Isa answered, qala, they're both wrong. That's why we encourage you guys to get my translation, not because I'm going to get rich by selling you my book. It's just propaganda, because this has already happened. This is past tense story, but sadly, our wonderful Muslim scholar made it future. Why? Because they will think this will happen later in the future. No, that's not accurate. The Bible is, the Quran is very clear. It's a past tense. I'm going to give it to you here from my translation, Quran.
Brother, how silly it is that Allah is already talking to Isa. When, where, how, you know?
Here, let me give you the verse in accurate translation here. I'm going to share it with you guys, and I hope we can get it up on the screen here. It is coming, Lord is willing. So I'm going to share. Oh, I can't see. Can you move your things?
Hey, brother, you have to share it from your side. I can't move anything. I will add you your screen once you share.
Okay.
I was actually trying to figure out where my Quran is so that I could show on the link as well. Your Quran, I mean to say.
You are my special friend. We're going to have fun. Here we go. Is this the right one? I hope it is. Let's see. Yep. And when Allah said, as Pastor, was call Allah, O Isa, son of Mary, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as God, as two gods other than Allah? The answer is what? He says, praise be to you. It is not for me that I say what is not true for me. If I had said it, so indeed you know it. You would know what is in my soul, and I do not know what is in your soul. Surely you are the knower of all of the unseen. Notice here, Isa is telling Allah, you're ignorant. Why? Because you asked me a question of something I did not do. And if I have already did it, you know it. And if you know it, why do you ask me? That's number one. But then I love this next part. He said what? You know what is in my soul. You would know what is in my soul. And I do not know what is in your soul. Wait a minute. Allah have a soul? I know that humans have body and spirit and soul. That's us. We're made of body, flesh, spirit, eternal soul, which is in the blood. When you die, your soul disappears. Like, literally, your soul is the soul in the human. It's in the blood. In the life, it's like animals have only soul and flesh. Okay? Now, Allah here, I'm sorry, he is saying, Allah, you would know what's in my soul, and I do not know what's in your soul. Are you kidding me? Allah have a soul? Amazing. Muslims say, if we say Jesus is God, that is blasphemy. That's blasphemy. We literally would be burned in hell because we say Jesus is God. But Allah in the Quran made for himself an eyes, ears, butt, because he sits on his throne, and ears, and hands. And by the way, what's amazing about Allah, as we know from the teaching of Muslims, called everything right hand. So he does not have right hand or left hand. No, he has two right hands, two left feet, two right ears, two right eyes, two no left in Allah. How? I do not know. You just have to use your imagination. But the beauty here, now we found out that Isa is still not, Allah have a soul. How can Allah be solid like a rock and at the same time he have a soul? Well, good luck with that. Literally, I'm astonishing about the true teaching of Islam concerning Allah. So that is concerning that verse. That is concerning that verse. I'm going to go back to what I was talking earlier. And obviously, we know that Adam was reading to us Quran chapter 3, verses 42 and 44. And it is right now on the screen. So Adam, go ahead and read this for us.
All right. When the angel said, O Mary, surely Allah gives you the good news with a word from him. His name is Christ, Isa, son of Mary, exalted in the world and in the hereafter, and of the nearer. And he will speak to the people from the cradle and in the old age, and of the good.
Amen. So the angels are still speaking to Mary. Bunch of angels, 3, 4, 5, only God knows, speaking to Mary. And telling her the good news. What is the good news? The good news that Allah is sending to her a word. He's sending the kalimat minhu, a word from him. Now we ask the Muslim believers, do you believe that the word of Allah is a created thing or is it eternal thing? Trust me. I didn't hear you, brother. I didn't hear you.
It's eternal, brother, because the Quran
nobody,
is the word of Allah.
Okay, nobody created the word of Allah. It is eternal.
No.
Are you sure about that?
According to all the early Mufassirin Islam from the first 1,000 years of Islam, it's eternal.
All right. So the word of Allah is eternal. It's not a created thing. We're going to see this contradiction coming up in a minute here. In that chapter, in the same chapter, Muhammad or Allah is going to contradict himself. And that word of Allah, his name, notice now, the word kalima in the Arabic language is feminine. So if I have bikalimatin munhu, the next word is going to be ismaha, because kalima is a feminine, it has to say ismaha. But he said ismuhu, his name, not her name, grammatic in Arabic. If I'm going to talk about a word, not just kalam, kalima, is mu'annatha, you have to say her name is the Christ. But here Allah used the word kalima, which is a feminine word, to say his name, not her name. You know why? Because that kalima is eternal. That kalima is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the true only meaning for it. Muhammad made a boo-boo. He should say her name, not his name. Go ahead, Adam.
Brother, here, usually Muslims come in and they give you a bite chart by saying, it says, bikalimatihi minhu. When the word minhu comes, it is from him, not of him.
I love it. When Muslims always, it's a fabrication. The Quran is a fabrication. The interpretation of the Quran is fabrication. Muslims will try to help Allah right and left. Go ahead. Keep deceiving yourself until you spend your eternity with Allah in hell. Trust me, this is the end of you. You're not using your logical common sense, just defending Allah. And we're going to see that as I go back to my reading from Quran chapter 19. The word of Allah is eternal. Christ is eternal. And that's what it is. And notice here, exalted in this world and in the hereafter. That's the word wajihan. Muslim scholars interpret it that, which means he is above the world, above, and he is perfect in this world and perfect for eternity without sin. And then he said what? And of the nearer to who? The nearer to Allah. You cannot be near Allah unless you are pure, unless you are holy. This is exactly what we're going to read in Quran chapter 19 as I go back. But then we have this, and he will speak to the people from the cradle and of his old age. Now I want to take you, and he's of the good. Now I want to take you back to Quran chapter 19 to see, did this really happen when Virgin Mary had her baby Jesus? Is this what happened? He spoke from the cradle, and he spoke as an old man, as Muslims believe in, from the verses of Allah in Quran chapter 3. Here we go, 19:21. Mary told him in the previous verse, I seek refuge with Allah or the merciful from you if you are of the fear. And here is the answer, verse 19. He said, Surely I am only a messenger from your Lord, that I may grant to you a righteous son. Oh, Ghulaman Zakiyan, pure, holy, righteous. Pure, holy, righteous. That's exactly what is wajihan fi dunya wal akhirah. Means it is perfect without sin in this world and in the hereafter. Now, I don't know why these words does not exist in chapter 13. We just read chapter 13, Adam. If these words were not there, why the statement here? First of all, it is one guy, normal human, absolute human, talking to Mary, nothing wrong with him, but there's a bunch of angels. The words of Mary is different here and there, and in the answer of the angel or angels or the human are also different wording. Now I want to read this question, verse 20, and we're going to read the same question in Quran chapter 3, because it is the same question in English language. If you read in Arabic, it's a little bit different, but I did not make a big deal about it in my translation because the word Ghulam is almost close to the word walad. But we're going to see here, young person. Mary said in verse 20, how can I have a son when no man has touched me and I was not unchaste? In Arabic, قالت أن يكون لي غلام ولم يمسني بشر ولم أكن بغير. Now listen carefully to the word here. We're not being sarcastically, but I want you to be careful. How can I have a غلام? Young man, وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرًا, and no human touched me. Do you really, if some man touch a woman, will she get pregnant, Adam? Think with me. How many times you shake a hand of a girls and ladies and old and young age, that does any of them got pregnant by just touching them?
MashaAllah, sir. When Allah says something, it be kun fayakun.
Amen. So, it's supposed to be, we're going to read that from Christy, our dear producer here. She's going to read the same verse in the Bible to learn from Luke. What did she actually say? Did she say, how can I have a young man when no one touched me? No human touched me? And then she added, وَلَمْ أَكُنْ بَغِيًّا, and I was not unchaste. Now, can you read me that question, Adam, from the Quran, which is the following verse where we stop in this life. I'm going to play it here for you. I'll go back. Put. Here we go. Read to me here. What did Mary say to Allah here?
So Mary said, do you want us to do this one?
The question. Verse 47.
She said, Lord, how can I have a son when no man has touched me?
Let's stop here for a minute. There. How can I have a son when no one has touched me and I was not unchaste? Notice now the Arabic. Rabbi an yakuna li walad. In the other verses of the Quran, chapter 19, an yakuna li ghulam. Ghulam is a young man. Walad is a boy. But I put it either way, how can I have a son? It doesn't matter. I don't want to make a big deal about it. But then where is the statement, and I was not unchaste? Mary forgot what she said there, and she told it to Jibreel wrong or something. But why the Quran contradicts itself? Now, go ahead, Adam. Read me
brother,
the answer. Yes.
I don't know why you're calling it contradiction, brother. Please be reasonable. I just told you, brother.
Yeah.
They are years apart, so it can happen. Allah forgets. Allah don't see.
Okay. Now, let's read the answer of the Lord, which, by the way, used to be a bunch of angels earlier. Do you remember that, Adam?
He said, yes, sir.
What happened when the angels become one Lord? L-O-R-D.
She said, Lord, kalat Rabbi. You know, brother, this is a testimony. There was a guy, and I always say that, there was a guy in my channel who left Islam just on this verse. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
His name
mm-hmm.
is Muhammad, and he comes to my channel, came in abusing left, right, and center. On the third debate, I showed him this. And I showed him that the Ruh came to Maryam of Allah, and Maryam replied to the Ruh as, Lord, how can I have a son? He said, Lord can be translated for Lord, like the British Lord. I was like, no.
No. Not in Islam, my friend.
Not in Islam, yes. I said, how about you read your own language translation and tell me what it says? So he took his time to find his Quran. He opened his Quran in his own language. It says, Lord.
Yeah.
Gone. This was the time when, you know the final nail in the coffin?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the final nail in the coffin. And after that, within like an hour or so, while debating, he left Islam. That was the final nail in
Praise
the coffin.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So, Lord, how can I have a son when no man has touched me? And then listen to the answer of that Lord, and I'm going to read you the answer of the human who's supposed to be the spirit of Allah who appeared to Mary. Go ahead, read this for us.
He said, likewise, Allah creates what he wills. When he makes a command, so he surely only say, be, so it be, kun fayakun. And he will teach him book and the wisdom and the Torah and the gospel. Now, this is a very confusing verse. Very, very confusing.
Let me take it step by step. Maybe help. First of all, he said it exists in both chapters, Quran chapter 19 and Quran chapter 3. Likewise, exists in both chapters. So I have to be honest here. That is the only, these are the only three words which exist in both answers. But the rest is completely different. First of all, Allah creates. Well, I thought Isa, the spirit of Allah, I'm sorry, the word of Allah is uncreated. How can Allah create his own word to make her the human inside Mary? That's a contradiction. Was Isa the word of Allah or not? If he is the word of Allah, that means he's not a created thing because Allah could not create his words because nothing about Allah is created. Number one. Notice here. So he surely only said so it be. That's good. And he would teach him the book. Now, as the question, what is the book here, Adam? What is the book which Allah is going to teach Isa in Quran chapter 3, verse 48? What
that
book?
That's what confuses me as well, because it says book and then says Torah and the gospel. So, like, why Allah says Torah and gospel and then book? Like, this is crazy.
Hey, listen to this. وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَ وَالْتَوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ. It is the poetry, brother. It is nothing. The Quran is nothing but the poetry. When you read the Quran in any language, you kiss the beauty of the Quran goodbye. Take the poetry out of the verses of the Quran by put it from Arabic to any other language, and it is no longer have any value or respect because it's a, and chosen you and purify you and chosen you. What is it? How can Allah choose Mary twice in the same verse? It doesn't make any sense. If God chose somebody, he chose him. Before I was conceived in my mother's womb, Jeremiah said, you know me by my name. Well, God chose him before and after even he was conceived in his mother's womb. No, God knows everything. But listen, book, Muslims don't know what it is. Wisdom, yeah. Torah, yeah. Gospel, yeah. What is the book? There's no answer. I challenge Muslims to explain to me what is the book. But that's not the issue. Why? Because I want you to hear the same answer of the angel in Quran chapter 19. Listen carefully. What did he say when Mary told him, how can I have a child when no man has touched me? Listen to this. He said,
likewise, the same word.
Oh, all right. He said likewise, three words. Now listen to this. Your Lord says, I'm sorry, these three words your Lord says is not there. It is easy for me. No, Allah did not say that in Quran chapter 3. And we will make him a sign to people and a mercy from us. Allah did not say that. And it was a decree matter. Allah did not say that. Where in the world did Muhammad come up with this? Why is the Quran... Guys, as I said this program, I was speaking to a group, Arabic group today, and I said, if you tell me the story in the Quran does not match the story in the Bible, I said, you know what? I'm going to be sincere. I'm going to be honest with you. One of the two books are wrong. If the story in the Quran does not match the Bible, there is a chance 100% the Bible has been corrupted or the Quran has been corrupted. They both cannot be right. But when you read the Quran and you compare it to the Quran like we're doing right now, I'm sorry. The Quran does not match the Quran. That's a bigger problem. Forget about the Bible. How can Allah said in the Quran, have they not considered the Quran? If it was from others than Allah, they would have found in it many inconsistencies. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're studying the Quran, and it's loaded with many inconsistencies. It does not make any sense. It does not make sense. This is what happened after that. We don't read, by the way, this is a story here in Quran chapter 3, but it's only in Quran chapter 19 because that's where you get the details of the story. So she conceived him. So she withdrew with him to a remote place. Well, she's already far away from her family. She already moved Georgia, and she went to Mississippi. Does she have to go to California to have the baby born? What is the purpose from leaving to go to a remote place? Just use your imagination. 14, perhaps 15. I don't think Mary was 16. She was less than 16. But I would go even for 16. Get pregnant. 9 months pregnant. On her own, catching her own bird and shooting her own rabbit and eat it. She's living by herself in the wilderness. Nobody around her. No neighbor. It's a you know what remote place means, Dad? Help me out, brother. When Allah said remote place, what does Allah mean remote place? Lots of neighborhood?
Brother, remote place should be a place where there is no house.
No house. Remote place. Imagine with me, 15 years old, pregnant, 9 months pregnant, for a whole 9 months, take care of herself. How stupid can you be to believe a story like that? Nine months pregnancy on her own, no neighbor, nobody to take care of her. And if she's already in a far east, why she have to go out to a remote place? It's like a cow is going to have a baby. I know this for sure about the cows. I have 20 cows on my land. They're not mine. Somebody is using my land to feed his cows. And I learned from Brother David that when a mama cow is about to have baby, she move away from all the herds of the cows and go to herself. And he would tell me, that mama is going to have a baby. That mama cow is going to have a baby sometime within next 24 hours. And guess what? She have a baby because she go to the remote place. But why Virgin Mary go by herself to a remote place? Listen to the verse. I think Muhammad have learned so much from the cow in his days. In verse 23, so the pain of a childbirth came on her by the trunk of a palm tree. Excuse me, what? Yes, that's what Allah said. A remote place is just somehow it happened, Sister Christy. There was a palm tree out there. And then she said what? Oh, I wish that I had died before this. Now, Muslim scholars gave us many interpretations. One of them, she was ashamed of herself. She realized, oh, man, I'm going to have a baby. What people will think of me? Do you think I commit adultery? Do you think I did this? Or some scholars say, because the childbirth was so painful, she wished that she had died. Listen. And I was forgetting. Now, somebody say, what is forgotten, forgetting? I said, I'm sorry, man. That's what Allah said in the Arabic. وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسَيًا. Forgotten, forgetting. Now, what is your problem with نَسْيًا مَنْسَيًا, Adam? What is your problem?
Well, my problem is, when I was reading the Quran with the open mind and not with the Islamic classes, this verse was huge problematic because at that time I was a father already. And I know how my wife went through the childbirth pain. But no matter how much pain she went through, she would never say that she would have died because of the childbirth pain, let alone a woman whom angels came, or the Lord came by himself, whichever narrative you will take. And she has been blessed with a child without even having a sexual intercourse, would say such a thing. It's impossible.
Do you know, Adam, how many women, how many young ladies in Mary's days were waiting to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that she will have a baby? I mean, I guarantee if you make a survey in Mary's days to all the women who lived in Israel, which one of you would love to carry the Savior in her belly? Which one of you would love to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, a virgin will have a baby? All of them say, I would do it. I would do it. Because that's an honor thing. I mean, we read this in the scripture. The Bible talk about it. But let's talk about the baby talk. The baby talking. Normally, Christy, I know you have 3 children, or actually 4. When every time, Christy, you have one of your children born, have you ever were shocked to see that instead of the baby go, wah, wah, your baby starts talking to you, came out of you and say, hey, good morning, mama, how are you? Or good afternoon, mama, I'm sorry, mama, I caused you some pain. How are you doing? Have you ever had that experience, Christy?
No, and I have 5 kids, actually.
I'm sorry, you have 4, 3, 4. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Just missed that one. But no, of course not. And you don't expect that, and that would be very, very abnormal.
Okay. Here's a question for you, Christy. Imagine with me that 2,000 years ago, by the way, guys, we have history written about people for literally 3,000, 4,000 years. I mean, we have history written in Egyptian, the history written by Aristotle and Aflatun and all the people, the philosophers, the historians of Greek and Romans and Jews, Josephus. If there was a case that a mama have a baby and the baby did not say wah, but talk like a grown-up boy, don't you think that will be recorded somewhere, some book, some place in the history of humanity?
I would think so, of course.
I mean, this is a phenomenon. It did not happen before, and it will never happen again. I guarantee you, we have so many history written about Alexander the Great, and I care less who is Alexander the Great. He was a sick man. He was a homosexual who claimed to be God. We have books written about Alexander the Great. That's 300 years before Jesus in detail. And not one person write to us about baby Jesus, talking baby Jesus. What other source Muslim can point to tell me that this story we're reading in verse 24, 25, 26 is real? Somebody give me another source besides Muhammad.
Brother, that story that you don't have.
Okay. Now let's listen to baby Jesus talk. So he called her from below her. Do not grieve. Indeed, your Lord has made a creek under you. Wait a minute. I did not know Mary was thirsty. Well, she was there for 9 months by herself, remote place. She could not find water. She was thirsty. And don't be upset. Here's the water, mama. Look at the creek under you. Oh, you know who Muhammad was confused here? He confused Mary with Hagar. Yes, indeed. That is the problem we have with that. Oh, go ahead.
Brother, there is a big problem in this. And I know you spoke on a church floor sometime as well on this one. The problem is baby Jesus has not been born yet. You know, when you say below her, fanadaha min tahtiha, below her, the Islamic scholars are in dilemma. They are in dilemma because baby Jesus has not yet born yet, brother. So when it says below her, it is between the two legs, I'm sorry to say that, of Maryam. And let me show you my screen on that, and I will show you Ibn Kathir. Ibn Kathir writes, then cry unto from below her. This is referring to Isa ibn Maryam. Likewise, Abdur Razak reported from Amr that Qatada said, Rasul, this is referring to her son Isa. This is also one of the two opinion reported. But he also says, the cry below her, this is referring to Jibreel, because Isa did not speak until she brought him to her people. So she, Isa, is talking from below her. Otherwise, how can Jibreel be between her two legs?
No. Well, I heard that before, obviously, and I don't believe in it. That's why I don't use it or talk about it. That the one who was speaking below her was an angel Jibreel. That even makes it worse, because if that Jibreel will continue the next verse, you find out that Jibreel is teaching her to lie. I'd rather have a baby Isa speak, and that is a propaganda. I argue with Muslim about it. That one here, he is actually the human who appeared to her like an angel. Now he's talking from below. That's stupidity. It is baby Isa because he continued to talk with the fallen verse of her family. It doesn't make any difference because Allah did not tell us who is he. Because then later, he is still talking to her family and is still the baby who's still in the cradle. We're going to see it. I got your point, Lord. I got your point. Now, and shake the trunk of the palm tree. If this was the one speaking brought her, was angel Gabriel, who, by the way, not angels, it's the spirit of Allah who appeared to Mary as a human. Why can't he shake the trunk tree for her?
Yes.
I mean, why? Christy, you got 5 children. I apologize, I missed your oldest daughter. But 5 children. How in the world did you feel about shaking a tree after you had the birth of any and each and every one of them? Were you so strong, it's like, oh boy, yeah, I've been there in the pit for the last a day or two to have that baby, and I'm glad he's out. Let me, somebody give me a trunk of a palm tree so I can shake it. Have you ever had the strength to do that?
No, I don't think that is...
Okay. Let me ask. Okay, men do not have any babies. They're healthy, strong, a good 200 pounds and muscles. What a one man can shake a trunk of a palm tree.
Brother, I'm Hercules. I can do anything.
Yeah, but in reality.
In reality, you know, palm trees are pretty gigantic and they're very solid, one single trunk.
Well, I don't know. Can you show me a palm tree, man? I mean, you're so smart with stuff. You can show me a big one. Guys, when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, I used to go above, literally, rise up in a palm tree, okay? And what is so amazing, when you go up there, if you have fear of heights, don't you dare go up, because when you go up, it gets windy, and the wind will move the tree right and left. No kidding, the wind moves the tree. And if you are a person of height, you can keep going up, 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 and you are 15 foot from the ground, and then you start, the wind moves the tree right and left, and you start get scared, and you panic, and you cannot come down. They're strong trees. They break when you have a hurricane 4 or 5. Tree will not break. Have you ever seen a headless tree? We're going to talk about this tree. Now, show me a picture, man. Show me a picture.
It's on the screen, brother, and these are palm trees, and they are very thick. Like, they are, the diameter of a palm tree is usually 2 feet, 1.5, 2 feet wide, or sometimes even more.
The one we got in our home in Egypt, they were like four to five, the width of it. You cannot put your arm around it. Let me put this, it's that big. That's why when I go up the tree, I use a rope, and I put the rope behind my back, and I go around the tree, because my hand cannot reach, and if you get tired, you're going to fall from the top.
Brother, it can be this palm tree on a pot. That she can definitely shake, brother.
You know what? You make me laugh. No, it is a big palm tree, and the miracle, as Muslim scholars tell you, it's not for her to shake the trunk of a palm tree. The miracle is that palm tree was headless. It was cut off. The head is off. And the miracle is when she shook the trunk of a palm tree, which is dead, somehow miraculously, Allah dropped a ripe date on her. You guys did not eat the date. I don't know what to tell you, but the chance for a palm tree, which is a headless, that means some hurricane went through the land, and somehow all the top is cut, yeah, as you see on the screen, that tree, zero chance to have dates. So the miracle is not she sees a creek of water under her, or to shake the trunk of the palm tree, because the tree was dead, headless, but Allah was able to feed her. So now we got the other idea now. Of course, Muhammad was confused between Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, because Hagar was the one who was thirsty, and she was in the wilderness, and God showed her where the tree is not. He below her is actually the angel of the Lord spoke to Hagar and told her, where is the water? So she, because she ran out of water, she thought she was going to lose her life because she cannot survive to live, she or Ishmael, her son, without water. But Muhammad confused. That's the beauty about it, is the Quran. You can read a story in the Quran and you get 4 or 5 different stories in it. And I have some examples to share with you later. But in simple short words, she found the water from below and the ripe date on the tree. And it was baby Jesus talking to her, not Jibreel as Muslims say. And she was shaking the dead head, the headless tree. And somehow she got the food in it. But listen to verse 26. Remember, he was pure son, holy son, righteous son in verse 26. So eat and drink and please the eye. So if you see any human, so say, surely I bow a fast to the merciful. So I will not talk to any human today. Wow. Now let's get Sister Christy in the programming. Sister Christy, if you eat, are you still fasting?
No.
Well, if you drink, are you still fasting?
No.
But if you eat and drink, for sure you're fasting.
No, not at all.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
Okay. Now, so Muslim scholar, as brother Adam was sharing with us, the one below her was Angel Jibreel. Angel Jibreel is sitting between sister, the Virgin Mary, legs down there, and he's talking to her. That's stupid. The miracle here is she is eating and drinking, and she is fasting, but the Muslim scholar come up with the best defense. They said, she was not fasting or eating and drinking, you stupid, you saw. She was fasting of thought. Did you see what she said? I will not talk to any human today. Not talking to a human, that's fasting of talking. Whoa. Let's see the verse again. If you see any human, think carefully, so say. You know what so say means, Christy?
Talk.
Are you sure? What's she going to say? Surely I have vowed a fast today. So, I'm sorry, to the merciful. So I will not talk to any human. That's more than 5 words, because if you eat 5 days, for sure you're not fasting. If you drink 5 sips of water, for sure you're not fasting. If you spoke 15 words, for sure you're not fasting of talking. Does this make any sense to you, Chris, or I'm just losing my mind?
No, it is really ridiculous.
So she is fasting, but she's not fasting.
That's
because
right.
Talk,
she's lying.
She's and who's teaching her that? If you go with the idiot scholars, they say that Jibril was sitting below her. That's stupid. But if you go with Jesus, which makes more sense to me, Jesus or Jibril, either one is teaching Mary to lie. Go ahead, Adam.
Come on. So baby Jesus is laying down between her two legs while she's standing. Number one, that's a big problem. Or Jibreel is laying down. That's a big problem.
But baby Jesus will be make sense, Adam, because she has the baby born. Listen to the verse. She was under the palm tree and the child first pain came on her and then the baby came out.
It never says baby came out.
Okay, the baby stayed in for another 4 years, like Muhammad.
No. Okay, fair enough. Okay, let's just say baby came out. But like here the basic problem, the basic secondary problem here is, like, imagine, brother, a very tiny baby laying down on the floor between the legs, looking above, hey, mama, there you go, water and AIDS. Come on, man, does it make sense in any way or form?
Well, you know what? When you argue with a Muslim, and I try to convince you that the one who's speaking from below her, it was angel Jibreel who appeared to her like a human. I'll tell him, let's go with the rest of the story. And we go to the next verse, which is obviously verse 27. So she came to her people with him. Him is he. He was talking to her. Trust me. It makes more sense even in the grammar. She did not take angel Jibreel with her. Okay. If he was talking to her was Jibreel, did she take Jibreel with her to her family?
No.
Where did the him came from, for heaven's sake? I don't want to use the H word. Where did the him came from if him is not Jesus? If he, the first one, is Jibreel. So she, listen to this. So she came to her people with Gabriel. No, with him, Jesus. So the one who was talking with her before was Jesus. Hello? Now, carrying him, did she carry Jibreel or carry Jesus?
Brother, I'm more amazed that how can a baby... Like, man, that's, okay, whatever. Baby's okay. Talking with me.
Okay. They, her family said, oh, Mary, indeed, you have brought a strange thing. Imagine with me, in Mary's Jesus days, if a woman, if somebody left home and 9 months later come home with a baby, you know what she's carrying on her arm? I call it her death certificate.
Death certificate, yep.
Why? Oh, sweetheart, that's my grandbaby. Let me hold him. Let me kiss. No, they don't do that. If a girl leave home and she went to Eastern place and then she got pregnant somehow and she went to a remote place and 9 months later she's coming home holding her baby to her family, to her cousin, to her brother, to her uncle, to somebody. Oh, we're glad you came back safe and you got your baby. Let's hold the baby and kiss her. It does not work that way. What would they do, Adam? For a woman in that time, or a girl in that time, coming home a year later, a few years later, with a baby.
Stone to death.
Thank you so much. And that's exactly what we're going to read in Matthew account when we get to the Lord's Word. But the idea here is a comedy. The story here is a joke. Because this does not fit with the story. She will not do it. And here we go. Oh, sister of Aaron, your father was not an evil man, and your mother was not unchaste, so she point to him. Oh, here we go. Him, not angel Gabriel, the baby. They said, how can we talk with him who was in the cradle? An infant. This is clear English. So when my Muslim friend argues with me that baby Jesus never talked, I'm making it up. It's because they're so ignorant of the rest of the story. How can we talk to him who was in the cradle? An infant, not the angel Jibreel. So we know for sure Jesus talked in the Quran. And listen to what he said. If any baby 2,000 years ago or even 3,000 years ago or even 4,000 years ago can talk like baby Isa, for sure, there will be something written about him in some historical book. Someplace. Somebody can write about it. So he said, okay, Surely I am a servant of Allah. He gave me the book and made me a prophet. And this was a story. And he made me blessed wherever I was and was. And he commanded with the prayer and the legal arms as long as I live, and to be righteous to my mother. And he has not made me arrogant, miserable. I'm getting sick and tired from reading nonsense. Literally, I'm getting sick and tired reading of nonsense. By the way,
hold on, just a bit. this is, you know how crazy it is. You know how crazy that sounds.
I know.
First thing, strange thing. What the hell does the strange things mean? Excuse my French. And secondly, the strange thing is now talking.
Yeah.
That strange thing is talking.
That's what makes him strange.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Strange.
Yeah. First of all, it's not a strange thing for somebody to leave home and come home, come back to her family a year later with a baby. That's not a strange thing. That's a baby. Okay? Somehow she committed adultery and got pregnant, and that's what it is. But obviously, that's not the story. But anyway, here's a question for our new Muslim friends. Jesus is alive today. Yes or no?
Amen. According to Quran, he is.
He is. And does he have a market in heaven where you work and you make money so you can make a legal alms?
No, brother, you are absolutely wrong on that part. Absolutely wrong. Because Jesus of Islam is not Jesus. I don't know why you even call Jesus. Say Isa. You say Isa, right? Isa is playing poker with Allah.
Oh, so when he wins, he takes this money and be the legal alms. Now, who are the poorest people in heaven? I mean, yeah, to give a legal alms, you give it to the poor, the front of the way. The Quran tells us who gives the alms gift, okay?
Jannah,
who are the poor, who Allah, yeah?
Jannah has levels, brother. There are, depending on the narration, there are 11, 38 levels of Jannah. So the lowest level of Jannah has gharib. They have gharib people there.
Poor people, huh?
Yeah, gharib. Their houses are small. They don't have the hurans. They don't have the
Like they're gonna take the money of Isa, son of Mary, to buy more food, maybe.
But the poor like servants and the hural ants, brother.
Allahu
Akbar. Brother, come on. See how easy it is to tell you about that.
I know. You got an answer. You are much better than all the Muslim scholars I talked to in my last 30 years of my life. But in reality, ladies and gentlemen, that story is nonsense. Not only the Quran contradicts the Bible, but the Quran contradicts the Quran. The Quran contradicts logic. The Quran does not give us any information in any detail. We have no clue who is Mary, who is Jesus, and what is going on here in the Quran. It's nonsense. Now, forget about all this junk and let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Bible. And I really feel like every time I read the story, I said, when the Muslims would have some logic, when the Muslim would have some common sense, When Allah the Quran said, remember Mary in the book, why can't the Muslim examine the Quran by the book? Why can't the Muslim understand the story of the Quran? Read for us, Sister Christy, since you are the Christian lady tonight. We'll make you the reader of the scripture, the word of God. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm reading from my screen. Matthew chapter 1, starting at
Luke.
Oh, I'm sorry. He told me Matthew before. Luke 1:26. Okay.
Yes.
And in the sixth month, the angel...
Whoa. What is the 6 months? 6 months of what? Oh, you need to read the rest of the previous verses. But we're not going to read the previous verses because Angel Gabriel made two visits. One to Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah, and another one to Mary, which is Jesus' mother. Now, 6 months after Elizabeth was pregnant, remember, that's a prophecy,
right,
that there is a voice who will be crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. This is the biblical teaching. So when you read the Bible, do not say one of them to the others, and he went to a remote place, and little bit as she came back. No. We got this here. I need to know where, when, who, and why. If you cannot answer this question, there's something wrong with the Bible. When? 6 months later, after Angel Gabriel met with Elizabeth. Now, go ahead.
Okay, now... And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent.
Oh, so who is he? Not a spirit from Allah who appeared like a human or a bunch of angels. We don't know how many. There could be three. There could be 20. No, one angel. Which one? Angel Gabriel. Okay, go ahead.
Was sent from God onto a city of Galilee named Nazareth.
So now we know where the angel went. in the county is called Galilee, and the city in the county is called Nazareth. Do you understand the Bible now? Do you understand the difference between the stupidity of Allah and Muhammad in the Quran and the propaganda interpretation, which I call fabrication of Muslim scholars to the word of Allah and the simple reading of the Bible? If God was speaking to me, and I don't have my high school diploma, I understand the Bible. If God's speaking to me and I have a doctorate degree, I still understand the Bible. We know when, we know where, we know who. This is a very important fact. I don't have to guess. Adam, was this Angel Gabriel or Angel Michael? Or was this a human? Or who? Which one? Does the scripture is clear?
Absolutely. It says Angel Gabriel.
And what is the name of the city?
Galilee.
That's a county. The Nazareth is a city. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. But okay. Now, go ahead and tell me 27, Chris.
Okay. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph.
What happened to Joseph in the Quran? He does not exist.
Nope.
I mean, if you think about Mary, 14, 15 years old, traveling by herself, going to live in Georgia and go to Mississippi and then move a little bit to Texas. And then in the end of the day, went to California and she came back. It does not make any sense. You need a husband. You need a fiancé. You need a family. You need a mom and a dad. That does not exist in the Quran. Good luck. Even when Allah gave her a name for her father, call him Imran. He called her a sister of Aaron. He confused between Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary, the sister of Moses and Aaron, and the distance between that Mary and this Mary, 1,500 years. No, her father was not Imran. His father, his name, Hali. Hali in Luke chapter 3. It tells us the Bible who is the name of the daddy. But go ahead.
Okay. A man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And
do you know that we have the two genealogy of Virgin Mary and Joseph, and they both go to David, and they both go to Abraham, all the way back to Abraham? We know her family. We know her people, father, grandfather, all the way to Adam, for heaven's sake.
And the virgin's name was Mary.
Good.
And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
That is what the Bible says. This was the greeting of the angel to Virgin Mary. That's not what we read from the human who appeared to Mary, nor from the angels who talked to Mary. Two contradictory, dumb story, and they don't match what is written in the book. Even though Allah, in Quran chapter 19, starts the story about the virgin birth of Jesus by telling us, remember Mary in the book. Nobody bothered to go to check the story in the book? No. We have to do it for the Muslims. Go ahead.
And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be.
Well, so she did not say, I seek refuge of Allah if you are a fearer? Mm-hmm. No, she just wondered, what is this greeting? What do you want from me? Go ahead.
And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God.
Oh, not Allah choosing you and purifying you and choosing you again in case you missed the first one, and not the other story. You are this and you are that. It's nonsense. Nonsense. You have found grace in God's eye. God has chosen you for a great mission. Go ahead.
And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus.
Not Isa, son of Mary? He said in the Quran, and you call him Isa, son of Mary. I don't understand. Why can Allah tell Mary, through whoever talked to her, that you have a son, you call him Isa, son of Mary? Call him Isa. She knows she's the mama.
Yes.
Listen to this. Caleb, son of Usama, for heaven's sake, it's my son. You have to tell me, Caleb, son of Usama? No. His name is Yeshua, and the Hebrew word is Yeshua, Savior. The real name. Why in the world did Muhammad change the name from Yeshua, in the Arabic language, which everybody speaks Arabic, knows the name Yeshua, to Isa, a name without meaning? Go ahead.
And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he
now, imagine with me here. He is the Son of the Highest. There's not one Jew or one Christian does not know what that means, Son of the Highest. The Son of God. Muslim would tell you, show me one verse in the Bible, Jesus, the Son of God. Here it is, one, before he was born. Mary, still single virgin. She got not, she did not get pregnant yet. And he thought, Son of, and he was what? And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. For how long, Christy? Can you tell me how long his kingdom will be?
And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Every king I know in the history of humanity, they were born, they became a king, they got died because they got killed of old age, they all died. But the kingdom of Jesus is eternal. Where is the proof in the Bible that Jesus is God, is eternal? Well, just read the verses. Don't be stubborn and don't be foolish. Read the verses. When the Bible said his kingdom will have no end, that means he is God Almighty who came in the flesh. By the way, verses 34 down, it tells the beautiful answer of the Virgin Mary, which sadly Muslims never read it because it's not in the Quran and they never read the Bible. But we're not going to get into that. Do me a favor. Let's go to the book of Matthew. I want us to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. And I'm going to tell you where we will start reading. I don't want to give you the wrong verse. You get mad at me. How about verse 18? Verse 18. Beginning from verse 18.
All right. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
So it's amazing. Muhammad tells us, remember Mary in the book, and he never read Luke or Matthew. These are the two places we learn about Mary and her fiancé Joseph. Why in the world Muhammad ignored Joseph? Because if you don't put Joseph in her life, the story does not make any sense. Because it does not happen that way in her day. And notice what's very important here, that Joseph found, we read the story from the Mary side in Luke, now we read it from the Joseph side. How Joseph learned about it and how Joseph reacted to it. Go ahead, verse 19.
Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately.
See, you remember Mitha going to ask Adam, what happened if a young lady go to her family after being a year or 2 years away with a child? He said that would be what?
Killed, stoned to death.
That certificate, that's exactly what we learned from that verse. Joseph was a righteous man. You know what Joseph had to do? All what he needed to do is go to a synagogue or go to the temple and meet with some of the priests or the Pharisees and say, hey, she's my fiance. I did not touch her. I never married her, and she's pregnant. So you take her outside to the city, you sold her to death. End of story. That is the logic. That is the real thing. Now, Joseph was in his thinking, what I'm going to do? He cannot sleep. What I'm going to do? I was going to marry her. She's pregnant. You know what? I'm just going to let her go. You know, you go on your way, I go to my way, I don't know you, let it go. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. We're not going to stone you to teach a good lesson to other girls in your age. Now, what happened while he's thinking of this thing in verse 20?
But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
It is the answer. If you're worried, Joseph, you want to leave her? No. You don't be afraid to take her to be your wife. Why? Because she didn't cheat on you. She didn't sleep with some young man. She is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And what we're going to call that baby was going to, first of all, he said a son. He didn't still leave it open. The Bible is very clear. She will have a son, not a girl. And the Bible gives us the name of the son. As the angel speaks to Mary before she was pregnant here, the angel speaks to Joseph in verse 21. What do we learn?
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for
what?
He shall save his people from their sins.
What happened if he said, and you shall call him Isa, for he will save his people? No, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, God saves. When you say his name is Savior, for he will save his people from the sin. It makes sense. The names of the Bible always have a meaning, and the meaning fits with the character and the percentage of what's coming to that person. And why all that? What is the evidence? What is the biblical evidence? What is the old prophecy which is about to be fulfilled in verse 22, 23?
Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Can you imagine? Jesus has two names. Emmanuel, God with us, and his name is Yeshua, Savior. God with us to save us. Jesus is God Almighty who came to save us. He's not a prophet. He's not a messenger. He's not a good teacher, as Muslims can know. He is God with us, and his name is Savior, for he will save us. God will save us. Hello? That is the entire gospel message in a couple of verses.
Yes.
Entire gospel message in a couple of verses. And why Muhammad did not tell the story, right? Can you imagine with me if Muhammad would tell us the story as it is written in the book, as he claimed? And remember man in the book. And tell us about what is written in Luke or what is written in Matthew. If he mentioned either one of these stories accurately in the Quran, you kiss Muhammad and the Quran and Allah and Jibreel goodbye.
Yeah.
Because everything Islam is built on, it is the denial of the deity of Christ and the work of Christ on the cross. And Muslims think they believe in Jesus. I'm sorry, my dear Muslim friends. Your Jesus will take you to hell for eternity. Can you imagine that? I say it again. Your Jesus, the Jesus of Muhammad, the Isa, son of Mary, will take you to hell with Muhammad for eternity. So don't you dare say, I believe in Isa. You don't know Jesus. Jesus is not Isa. Jesus is Yeshua. Yeshua. He is God with us. He is the Savior. You denying the deity of Christ, and you denying the death of Christ on the cross, his burial and his resurrection. You know nothing about Jesus. You don't even know information worth of the dime or a nickel about Jesus. You know why? Because you have the wrong Jesus. So what did Joseph did when he wake up from his sleep in the last two verses, 24 and 25?
Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
There's plenty of Christian who have a problem to say that Virgin Mary had baby Jesus. Plenty of Christians, to be married to Joseph after the birth of Jesus. And I have no idea why people reject the idea that Jesus Christ is a mother, cannot be married to Joseph and move on with her life. They're trying to honor Virgin Mary by dishonoring God. Why do I say that? Very simple. Because if you think marriage is not a holy thing, then you tell me that God, who created marriage and put marriage in humanity from the days of Adam and Eve, is an unholy God. Marriage is holy. It is a godly relationship. And the Bible is very clear. When you read the Bible, it is very clear. Joseph did exactly as the angels of the Lord told him. What he did, he took Mary to be his wife. He took her to his home. She no longer traveled in the east or the remote place or be with her mama and daddy. No. She moved with him. Everybody in town knows Jesus, son of Joseph the carpenter. Don't we know his father and his mother and his brothers? And everybody knows one person. Remember, the idea of to leave Mary after Joseph found out she's pregnant in verse 19 of Matthew 1, he was going to do it in secret, privately. He never told his buddies. He never told some priests. He never told anybody. Why? He was thinking that found out she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. He took her to be his wife, but he did not have sex with her. He did not know her until she birthed her firstborn son. That language alone says that she had a second son and a third son and some other girl's daughters. The Bible is very clear. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. And Jesus is God Almighty who came in the flesh. His name is Savior. And they named him Yeshua as a Savior. I want to share with you one last verse here, which is what is written in the book of Galatians chapter 1. Let me share this slide with you guys. I think this is very important to learn about what Islam did. What Islam did is very simple. It's creating a propaganda gospel. a new gospel. That's not what we Christians believe. That's not what Christians believe. And the apostle said, well, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you, who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. That is Muhammad. But even if we, Paul, Peter, John, James, every one of them, even if we, or an angel from heaven, Gabriel, Michael, I don't care what name you want to give, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Cursed is Muhammad. Cursed is his angel, if it's Jibril or a bunch of angels, whatever he made up the story about. And cursed is Allah, the God of Muhammad. As we have said before, so now I say again, repeating the verse of the Bible, it's not about making the letter a little bit bigger. It's very important. If anyone preached any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Think about it, my dear Muslim friends. The gospel of Jesus in your Quran, of Islam's Quran, is anew. It maybe came from somebody, his name is Muhammad. It maybe came from some angel, as Muhammad claims. I don't care who is the source of the Quran. If it's Allah, who I believe to be Satan, or if it's Muhammad made it up himself, or some of his friends that helped him with it. Whatever the source, it's a different gospel. Let this man be accursed. May Muhammad be accursed. May Allah be accursed. May the angels of Allah be accursed. May the Quran be accursed. But there's only one truth and one God. We're celebrating the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is God Almighty who came in the flesh. And he came for one reason, one reason only, to die for our sins, and he rose again. This is the reason for this season. Praise God and thank you, Jesus. Adam.
You have already said everything, brothers. And thank you so very much. Yes, this is absolutely true. And like I say, it's up to the Muslims to accept him or reject him. And unlike Islamic teaching, we are not here to drag them by their necks, by putting chain around their necks and dragging them to Christianity. It's a relationship. And you can only come into a relationship with your own free will. If you will not, you know where you will go. I don't have to tell you. And if you will, you know where you will go, because the Bible is very clear. The only way for eternal life is through Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and he is the light. And the way is narrow, and that narrow way is the way of the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Christy, sister, share whatever the Lord puts on your heart.
Well, I think that it's important that Muslims note that even the Quran said, remember in the book about Mary. Why don't they just go to the book about Mary and see what it says? Because that's where they will find who Jesus, her son, who's really the Son of God, they can find the truth there. It's really awesome that you shared that, and I pray that Muslims will do the same. Look for that.
Amen. I hope you guys have a wonderful Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Next week will be a day after Christmas, which is the Saturday, because Christmas coming on Friday. And I hope and I pray that you have a great time with your family celebrating. Wait a minute.
Christmas is on Saturday,
Sama. It is Saturday?
Yes.
Maybe I was wrong. I can't see. I made a mistake. I'm better than Allah and Muhammad. Trust me. My mistakes are small and easy ones. How about just so? Next Saturday, we'll meet on Christmas. I don't know how many of you will be with us or join us, but at least if I do not see too many of you, I will just share my love with Adam and Christy for a little bit. We maybe make it a short program. How about that? A short program.
We need to work on this strategy because...
So wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me we're not going to have a program next week?
Well, I'm not saying that, but I only get to see certain members of my family that are traveling from another state in the evening on Christmas.
Okay.
They're only going to be here for a few hours.
Well, I'm glad we correct this right now. I'm glad we got it in the right order. Next week, we'll not have a program. It's a wonderful time. Spend it with your family. Forget about your summer. Forget about
I'll be thinking of you.
All right. Love you. And you know what, guys? It's awesome. I really enjoyed having with you another year with you. Every Christmas, we talk about the birth of Jesus. And we share maybe similar stories, same verses, but I try to make a little bit different today just to share with you. Not only the Quran contradicts the Bible, because so what? Maybe the Bible is corrupted. But my dear Muslim friends, your Quran contradicts the Quran. Just open Quran chapter 3 and open Quran chapter 19
right.
And open the Bible. You got Luke 1 and Matthew 1, Quran 19 and Quran 3. And read it by yourself. You don't need an imam or a mufti to help you to understand. You don't need your Islamic doctor or Adam or Christy. You don't need anybody. Just read the scripture. Let God speak to you. You know what? I would say a simple prayer. Lord, I don't know where is the truth. I'm confused. Is it in Islam? Is it in Christianity? Don't forget, the Bible says, what man gained? If he won the whole world and lost his soul, you can live the perfect life in this world, and you close your eyes in this world, and you lose everything.
Yeah.
So study these four passages. It will not take you but an hour to read it on your own. Trust me. You don't need anybody to help you. And the Spirit of God will declare where is the truth. Is it in the Bible or in the Quran? Which part of the Quran is the truth? Is it chapter 3 or chapter 19? If one of them is wrong, then you put both of them aside. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now we're going
to... Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless each and everyone in the live stream who are watching and the ones who will watch later. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yeah. Amen. We got the closing prayer here. I don't want you guys to hang up. Please don't hang up. If you're watching live right now or you're watching later, listen to the words of the invitation. And I hope and I pray, if one of you, if just one of you have never given his heart or her heart to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, why don't you pray the prayer coming up? This will bring a joy to my life. Just send me an email or send me a text message. Probably some. I heard your program about Jesus the Savior, and I asked him to be my Lord and my Savior. I give my heart to Jesus and thank the Lord for this great program. Support us by helping to join us in this podcast. God bless you all. Merry Christmas. No program next Saturday. And Happy New Year. We'll see you again. Lord willing, before that.
Yeshua Akbar al-Azim.
Amen.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam.